Morning, everybody. Today's daf Im Pesachim Kuf Tes Zayin. We are in Kuf Tes Vavam and Beis. We are continuing our discussion here in the 10th parak of Pesachim. And obviously the topic of discussion over here is the Seder. And we are going through the Mishnayos. The timing could not be any better in terms of getting us ready for the Sedarim. The Mishnayos basically create a framework of the Dalakosos. The Seder is really supported by the Dalakosos. Each one of the Kosos is a different section of the Seder. We already went through the first coast, which obviously is Kiddush, and we are getting up to the second coast, but we're almost there. Amar Shmuel, we are on Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis, Lechem Oni. Gemara now is going to give us the number of drushas that I have a feeling we're all familiar with. Anyway, the first drusha is Lechem Oni, Lechem She'onim Alav Devarim. So the Torah describes matzah as being a Lechem Oni, the bread of affliction, and the Gemara is going to darshan in one of three ways. Number one is that it is a lechem that we respond to. We say things over the lechem. Tayin Amihachi, the Gemara quotes, the Braisa lechemoni, lechem she'onim alav dvarim harbe. So the Braisa over here says exactly what was said over B'Shem Shmuel, adding the word harbe, but the point is basically the same, that we say things over the lechem, which means basically that we tell the story over the lechem. The lechem, the matzah on Pesach serves as a prop, and we are saying over the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim while the lechem is in front of us. If you do remember Rashi earlier when we quoted this Gemara, this is the second time already we're seeing this. So go back to Rashi on Daf Lamed Vav. So Rashi adds an interesting point, and that is that not only is the makif going to be set over the lechem, but the challah is going to be set over the lechem as well. You're going to have the matzah out when you're saying the challah. That is admittedly a little bit tricky, in that at this point in time, the matzah is eaten already. Even the afikoman is eaten already. It could be, Rashi does say that earlier. It could be that the halal that Rashi is making reference to is the two paragraphs of halal that come at the end of Magid. That could be what Rashi is making reference to. Okay, but anyway, let's go on. Devar Acher, the Gemara quotes another drasha as well. Lachamoni ani ksiv. So the Kri and the Ksiv, the Torah writes it without a vav, even though of course we pronounce as Oni. So Ma Ani Shadarcha Beprusa Af Kan Beprusa. So just like the Ani, so he has broken pieces of bread. So too, our matzah is going to be broken. We're going to physically break the matzah and remind ourselves of the state of Anios that we were at the time. Even though of course we were experiencing Geula, but nevertheless it was the bread of Aniyim. So Afkan Beprusa. So take a look both of the Rashi and the Rashbam. I'm going to quote the Rashbam over here. So the Rashbam writes Afkan Beprusa Lavar Chalachilas Matzah. So that when we make the bracha Chalachilas Matzah, so it's got to be over the broken piece. Now the Rashbam continues to write Ushay Shlemos Maisinan. Now we also on top of that going to bring two whole loaves as well. Mishum HaMotzi, because we have a Berachas HaMotzi, the Logar Mishar Yomim Tovim Shetzarch Livtoa Ushay Shlemos Ubatzei Ameachas Mei Shlemos. So the on Yontif, so we need two shlemos for Shabbos and Yontif. So zech leman, so we have two whole loaves. So the same thing is going to be true regarding Pesach. So basically, what the Rashbam says is you got to put a couple pieces of information together, which gets us to the point where we have three matzahs for the Seder. So one matzah is going to be beprusa. In fact, the Rashbam over here writes that we make the brichos a mitzvah of al achilas matzah. So that's going to be over the broken piece, and then on top of that, in addition to that, you're going to have two whole loaves because it's Yontif, and we need two whole loaves on top of them. Okay, so as for the explanation of why we use three matzahs, so this is our Rashbam right here in Adaf. Tosfos over here is slightly more elaborate, but has the following debate. He basically agrees with the Rashbam. If you take a look at the top of the Tosfos, top Tosfos on the Amud, near Degam Hamotzi Tzarech Levarech Al HaPrusa. Tosfos over here says not only are we making the bracha of al achilas matzah, the birchas a mitzvah on the broken piece, but Tosfos over here, at least in the beginning, argues that the birchas a motzi is also going on the prusa as well. And is that correct? So Tosfos goes back and forth on this very issue. And if you take a look at the end of Tosfos over here, v'chein ayanoig harav menachem yuni v'harav yamtu shayim avarchin hakol al haprusa. Everything was made over the prusa. Everything meaning both brachas. The birchas a motzi is made on the prusa and the birchas and the bircha of al achilas matzah is made on the prusa, which means that, presumably according to these Balei HaTosfos So you're going to have shleimos, presumably, but in terms of the bracha is going to be made on the actual prusa itself, both. Achri hayamavarech hamotzi al shleima, v'hadar al achilas matzah al prusa, u'botzea mishtehem yachad, v'chein amadavar. But then, Tosfos over here quotes the Shitas Ari, and that's as follows. The bircha of hamotzi is going on the shlema. The bircha of achilas matzah is going on the prusa. And which one are we going to be eating? Botzea mishtehem. So we're going to have from both the prusa and the shlema. And Tosfos says, by the way, that's the minhag. That's what people do. Now it's true that we're also going to have a third matzah there as well, so that we'll have the shlemos like the Rashbam describes. But over here, what Tosfos quotes at the end, that he's firmly of the position that the bracha of hamotzi goes on the shlema, the bracha of alchias matzah is going on the prusa, and we have shlema and prusa. We eat from both, which explains, perhaps you know, I'm sure you heard, that for the matzah that we eat at the beginning of the Seder, so we have two kizesim. So two kizesim, why do we eat two kizesim? Meaning the mitzvah of achil only demands that we eat one kezias, right? You read the Rambam in terms of what the mitzvah is that night. Rambam writes to eat one kezias, and so therefore, and meanwhile, you open up any haggadah, any competent haggadah, they're all competent. So you open up any competent haggadah, and he's going to tell you that to eat two kezesim. Why are we having two kezesim? So now you know. In other words, the discussion that we're having right now in terms of what the brachas are going on. And Tosfos over here is, again, in the beginning of Tosfos, he thinks that al achilas matzah is going on both, on both the prusa and the shlema. But Tosfos' conclusion, however, is that no, the bracha of the bracha of hamotzi is going on the shlema, the bracha of achilas matzah is going on the prusa, and we have from both, we eat from both matzahs. Okay. And obviously much more to discuss on this particular topic, but just some basics, if you will. Devar Achir, we're back to the Gemara when Kuf says Zainam and Aleph on the top line. So Madarku Shalani Hu Masik Vishto Ofer, Afkan Nami Hu Masik Vishto Ofer. Now when it comes to poor people, so their resources are very limited, and so therefore the husband's going to be heating the oven, but they don't have a lot of fuel, they don't have a lot of logs to use for the oven, and so therefore the wife is prepared to bake right away. So here too also, tag team combination of husband and wife in terms of baking the matzah, and that's how the matzah should be baked. And what do we gain by that? Meaning, even if you're not an ani, what do you gain from that? So the Rashbam over here writes, because now that you're doing it in a tag team scenario where you're baking the matzahs right away, so it's going to further minimize the risk of arriving at chimutz. That's what the Rashbam writes over here. Okay, afa pishen charosas mitzvah. Okay, a really fun discussion that we have from here until the Mishnah regarding the mitzvah of charosas. Now, if you recall in yesterday's daf, so what was the purpose of the charosas? It was to mitigate any kind of risk, any kind of concern of the maror. The maror's got some sort of eres, right? I'm going to go with the first pshat of the Rashbam yesterday. The maror's got some sort of poison in it. Okay, you can call it bacteria, whatever. There's something harmful about the maror, and what you do is that you put it into the charosis, and the charosis mitigates, and it really will take care of any possible health concern that's contained in the maror. So that was yesterday's daf. Now what we're going to be discussing is that there's something more symbolic in the charosis. Now, you go back to the mission that we saw yesterday. I do take that back. We saw the mission 2 days ago. And the Ankuf Yudal Amad Aleph, and the mission over there records a machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Tzadok in terms of whether or not charosis in of itself is a mitzvah. So the Tanakhama of the Mishnah back in Kuf Yudal says, Afa Pishin charosis mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to bring the charosis. And meanwhile, Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Tzadok says that charosis is a mitzvah. So here the Gemara now has the following discussion. Afa Pishin charosis mitzvah. V'ilo mitzvah mishumai maisila. So if charosis is not a mitzvah, meaning take the position of the Tanakhama, so then why do we bring it? I'm Rabbi Ami, Mishim Kappa. So Rabbi Ami says, okay, so go back to what we learned yesterday. There's eris, there's poison in the mara, and you wanna, and we need to mitigate it, so the charosis happens to be an excellent means of mitigation. So I'm Rav Asi, Kappa de Chasa Chama. The Gemara is gonna go through, various positive ways of improving something. So, if you, let's say, for example, you eat the maror, you eat this leaf, And so what should you do? So what you should do is chama, get out there in the sun. And kapa de chama karte. And if you had too much sun, so what do you do? So leeks. Leeks apparently are very good. Kapa de karsi chamime. It leaks. So what do you do for that? So chase it down with the hot water. And kapa de kulu chamime, in general, hot water is wonderful. Adahachi vahachi nemahachi. And then on top of that, meaning the if in fact you ingested the kapa, right, this eris. So again, the best thing to do is to mitigate to begin with, as we just pointed out. But in the event that you ingested the eris, so chase it down with hot water. The Gemara says that's one that's one therapeutic, and the other one is an incantation. Kapa de kapa de chinilach l'shev b'nesech l'tamni kalasech. Okay, it's an incantation, and I can translate it. But even after I translate it, it's not going to mean a whole lot to me. It's something you say. Anyway, so Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok Omer Mitzvah. Okay, so here now, the Gemara is going to be focusing on the machlokas as to whether or not charosis is a mitzvah or it's not a mitzvah. So right now, if it's not a mitzvah, so the Gemara just got done clarifying, so it's there to take care of the eris. There is some slight hazard, risk hazard in terms of eating the maror, and we dip it in the charosis before we eat it, and that creates mitigation. Okay, that's if you hold it's not a mitzvah. So according to Rabbi Lazar, it is a mitzvah. What does that mean? It's a mitzvah. Where do we find this mitzvah in the Torah that we're supposed to have charosis? My mitzvah. So Rabbi Levi Amar Zechel Tapuach. So the Gemara over here is going to give a couple of positions in terms of what exactly is it that it's a mitzvah. So let's say right off the bat, it's not a mitzvah in the Torah. Obviously, there's no pasuk in the Torah that tells us that we need to eat charosis. But what it is clearly a mitzvah de Rabbanan. If you're holding like Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok, it's a mitzvah de Rabbanan. And why did the Chachamim institute it? So here we have two opinions in the Gemara. The first opinion of Rav Levi is that it's Zechel Tapuach. It reminds us of a Tapuach. What does that mean, Tapuach? So take a look at the Rashbam over here. And the Rashbam writes, Zechel Tapuach, b'masechet Sotah, she'yolder sham b'neim below atzev, sh'lo yakira behem mitzrim, d'yachsif tachas ha-tapuach ha-ra'asicha. So the Gemara in Sotah gives a description of basically how we had to, how the women in Mitzrayim basically saved the generation. They enticed their husbands to have relations. They had the baby in private locations, undisclosed locations. They didn't scream in pain. Meaning the women in Mitzrayim were heroic. And the trees is where they had the babies. And so hopefully it's going to remind us when we have the charosis of the trees, because the charosis is made up from apples, and you remember the apple trees in Mitzrayim? Okay, I know that our definition of the word tapuach over here is a little bit funny, because we're talking about apple trees in Mitzrayim, which may or may not have been the case, but whatever, it could very well be that our definition of tapuach is not so precise. But anyway, But we're going to remember the heroism of the women in Mitzrayim, and that's why we have the charosis. That's one opinion. Rav Yochanan Amar Zechletit, and Rav Yochanan says it reminds us of the straw, meaning of the shibud, that we had to collect the straw. And remember, Moshe went to Paro, and they had a confrontation. And after the first confrontation, Paro says, "You know what? They're asking for vacation. It's ridiculous." And he told them to gather more straw. And so by looking at the charosis, it's going to remind us of the straw that we had to collect as slaves in Mitzrayim. Exactly what about the charosis reminds us of the straw? So it's not perfectly clear. It could very well be that there's some sticks that are put into the charosis, like let's say, for example, cinnamon sticks. It's not perfectly clear. But anyway, Amar Abayi Hilchich L'Tzarech L'Kayuei V'Tzarech L'Smuchei. So the Gemara says, okay, so basically what we have to do is that we have to throw in, we have to make it acidic, we have to throw in apples. And on top of that, you also have to make it, you have to make it thick to remind us of the straw. So like Kayu Zechel Tapuch V'Tzarech L'Smuchei Zechel Tit. Okay, so basically these two properties of the charosis is going to satisfy both opinions. Meaning if you make it acidic, i.e., you put apples in it, so it's going to remind us of the tapuach, the orchards in which the women had children. And if you also make it thick and you're going to basically see the quote unquote straw inside of it, so it's going to remind us of the Sheba. Tanya Kavasa de Rav Yochanan. The Gemara now has a brisa that supports the Shita of Rav Yochanan. Remember, Rav Yochanan says that it reminds us of the straw. So Tavlan Zechel Tevin, Chavosa Zechel Tid, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Kacha Yomim Tagre Charech Shi Yerushalayim. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok says that if you went out to Yerushalayim, here's what you're going to hear the merchants say. Boy Vetul Lechem Tavlan LeMitzvah. Right, get these spices. These spices are going to be for the mitzvah of charosis. Now, when we're saying spices, basically what we're doing is that we're throwing in various spices. It kind of looks like straw, right? We're going to stretch our imagination a little bit, but it's going to look like straw. And it's going to remind us of the servitude and the sheba that we were in Mitzrayim. Okay, so basically when all said and done, so let's just quickly organize. So we had two opinions in the Mishnah back in Kuf Yudalid, whether or not the charosis is a mitzvah. And let's just go through the Gemara's explanation, two explanations. If it's not a mitzvah, which is Shitas Tanakama, so what is then the purpose of charosis? And the answer is mitigation. There is a slight risk to the maror. You dip it in the charosis before you eat it, no problem whatsoever. The problem becomes resolved. If you hold that charosis is a mitzvah, so then the Chachamim instituted the preparation of charosis as props at the Seder to remind us of one of two things. Either the heroism of Jewish women, in which they created the next generation, despite the fact that the husbands were not as interested in doing so. And or the alternative is that it reminds us of the servitude. It takes us back to the time where we had to collect all that straw, and it reminds us of the servitude. That's the two possibilities of the Gemara, if in fact you hold that it's a mitzvah. Adkam, we are now in the Mishnah Kufta Zainam at Aleph, and Mazgulo Kosheni. Now we're up to the second cup of wine. Now remember, the idea is that Kiddush is said over wine. Magid is said over wine. So basically this starts the section now of what we call Magid. Now, what was between Kiddush and Magid? So what we had between Kiddush and Magid is karpas. We had a vegetable. And remember, that's what we've been discussing now for the last off, because we just wanted to be a little bit different. The Chachamim designed the Seder so that we'd be doing a couple of strange activities, and hopefully the kids are going to ask. So fine. So we had the interlude of karpas between Kiddush and between Magid. I know Baruch Hashem, we're all trained in terms of what the Seder, what the order of the evening is. So where's exactly Yachatz? So no reference of Yachatz. Presumably it's self-understood. I mean, we just did go through a drasha of the Gemara that tells us that, the mitzvah of the evening is to have a broken piece. So how are you going to have a broken piece? You're going to break it. Okay. So we do it, a moment before we start Magid. I know, you know, qualifies as a section of the Seder, but there is no formal reference of now is the time to break the matzah. And presumably you could break the matzah even earlier. In other words, you don't have to break it at this point in time. But again, we have a Haggadah, we have a Seder, like we know exactly what to do and when to do it. But you'll notice though in the Mishnah, there's no section of Yachatz. So Mazgul Okesheni, now we're up to the second cup of wine. We're pouring the second cup of wine and we're going to be saying Magid over that second cup of wine. V'kana ben Shoel, Aviv. And now the son is going to ask the father. Now what is the son asking the father at this point in time? Now, you'll say the Manishtana, but you'll note, however, that is coming up in the Mishnah. And in fact, if you just a simple reading of the Mishnah would seem to indicate that's not what the son is asking, because let's just read on in the Mishnah. V'im ein das b'ven aviv malamdo. Now, if the son does not have the cognitive ability to ask the question, so his father's going to teach him what to say. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, Manishtana halayla zem, mikol halaylos. And then questions that are going to be posed, for that evening. Now, presumably, this again, a simple reading of the Mishnah would indicate that if the son is just simply does not yet have the intelligence, so then the father's going to teach him. What is the father going to teach him? Presumably, Manishtana. That would seem to be a reasonable reading of the Mishnah. Take a look at the first Rashbam in the Mishnah. V'kana ben Shoel Saviv kan b'mizigas kos sheni haben Shoel Saviv im chacham hu Manishtana achshav shemozin kos sheni kodem achila. So what's the son going to ask? So the Rashbam says it's very simple. Read the Mishnah Kipshuto. The Mishnah says we're pouring a second cup of wine. So hopefully the son who was already bothered by the carpets that we ate. So now you're pouring a second cup of wine. You know, and generally speaking, here's how it works at the yontif meal, at the evening yontif meal or the evening Shabbos meal. So we make Kiddush, and then we all go wash our hands and we do Motzi. And now you're pouring a second cup of wine? What's going on over here that we're pouring a second cup of wine? That's the question that would be asked by the Chacham, if in fact the child is a Chacham. And then the Rashbam goes on, V'Rabbeinu Kibel, May Rabbi Yaakov ben Yakar. Now, Rabbeinu presumably is Rashi. This is a Rashbam. So he's quoting now from Rashi, who's quoting Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Yakar, one of the Rabbeim of Rashi. V'chena ben Shoel, Kamo, Kain b'no Slav Chad. Klamar dinu shiei Shoel, b'mezikas kosheni, manishtana. So we have in our Mishnah the word V'kan ha-ben Shoel. But the Rashi's Nusach of our Mishnah is V'kain HaBen Shoel, like Kain B'no Slav Chad, like indeed. Like, right, now's the time to ask. Okay. So anyway, so that's it. That's a simple way to read the Mishnah. It's not obviously the only way to read the Mishnah, but it is the Rashbam, and that's our focus over here in the Daf. So good. So that's, we have now a working Pshat in the Mishnah. The second cup is poured. Kain HaBen Shoel, what's the son asking? Why are you pouring a second cup? And if the son just simply does not yet have the intelligence to ask so, we feed questions. What questions are we going to be feeding? So manishtana. So for the most part, this is now, we're all going to be in familiar territory over here, but keep an observant eye to the Mishnah, because you'll notice a couple of things which are slightly different. So manishtana laila zemikol alos, and in what ways is this night different than all others? Shebechol alos, ano ochlim chamim umatza, halaila zekulo matza. You know, the rest of the year, we're eating chametz, we're eating matzah. Tonight, we're only eating matzah. So why should that be? And shebechol ha'ilos, anu ochlim shar yirakos, ha'layla zamarur. I know all of the nights we're having other vegetables. Tonight, our focus is on marur. Shebechol ha'ilos, anu ochlim basar tzli, shalok ha'mavusho. On other nights, so the meat's prepared, and it's prepared by roasting it or cooking it. And ha'layla zekulo tzli, it's all going to be roasted. And shebechol ha'ilos, now our nusach of the Mishnah, you can see a bunch of parentheses over here. So I'm just going to read it the way, just without the parentheses. Shebechol ha'ilos anu. I got to stick in a word over here. Matbilim pamachas ha'ilos zeh shtei pamim. And all other nights we dip once, and tonight we're dipping twice. Ulefi dato shoben aviv malamdo. And basically, you're gonna give answers in response to the child's question, and it's going to be befitting of what he understands and his level of comprehension. And maschil begnosus mesayim b'shevach. You start at the low point and you end at the high point. V'darshan, as far as the drasha is concerned, what are we going to darshan? Meaning, what psukim are we going to focus on? Arami ovid avi achi gmar kol parsha kula. So you go, you open up to parshas kisavo. You're going to be reading the amira every time we bring bikurim to Yerushalayim, to the Beis Hamikdash. So there is a pronouncement that we make together with the Havas Bikurim. It basically is Yetzias Mitzrayim in quick summary form. So what we're going to do over there is we're going to read those Pesukim. And on top of that, we're also going to Darshan. And when I say Darshan, meaning we're going to be reading the Midrashim. Now, the Midrash over here is quoting Midrashim. What Midrashim is the Midrash making reference to? So just historically, we all know that your standard Midrash Agadata, so they were put together well after the Mishnayos. So, when we're talking about Midrashim over here, so we're talking about Midrashei Halacha, right? Notably the Sifrei. So we're going to be quoting the Sifrei. That's the original Midrashim on the Pesukim. And that's what we do. In other words, we read Arami Ovidavi and we read the Sifrei that accompanies it. They give us the rabbinic interpretation of the Pesukim, the rabbinic interpretation, obviously based on the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Masorah that was given to them. Okay. So those are the instructions of Magid. Now over here, obviously the Mishnah is not filling in every detail. And again, whoever put together the Haggadah for us, the Haggadah is a Nusach that we had for years. The Rambam already had a Nusach of the Haggadah, right? And that takes us back 800 years ago. So the idea that we have a Haggadah has been around for a very long time. But in terms of the framework of the Haggadah, so that's what we have over here in the Mishnah. So, right, the various piyutim that went into the Haggadah and other components that go into the Haggadah obviously developed over the course of time, but the framework is right over here in our Mishnah in terms of what we're going to do. Going back to the Manishtana, so you'll notice that in the Manishtana, so what's conspicuously absent from the Mishnah is there's no mention whatsoever of the Haseba. But hopefully at this point in time, you already figured it out. Meaning, one of the questions of the Manishtana is regarding the Karm Pesach. We unfortunately don't have the Karm Pesach. So what we did is we did a substitution. We took out the question regarding the Karban Pesach, and we inserted the question of a Seba. Okay, that is one observation, but the Gemara itself is going to make a couple, really one other observation. Tanu Rabbanan. Chacham eno sho'olo v'imeinu, chacham ishto sho'olo asav, v'imin lav, hu sho'olo atzmo, v'afilu shnei tamid chachamim, sh'yodim b'ilchot ha'pesach sholim zel azeh. So, we've gone over this point before, but the Gemara really hammers this point. The idea that the way that we're telling over the story has to be in the form of she'ila. It's got to be question. It's got to be answer. That's a format of the evening in terms of how we go through the Seder. Obviously, I'm not the right person to do this, but you have to understand. I don't fully understand yet. I'm looking forward, but you have to understand why she'ila is so important. Why is it so critical for the saying over the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? I mean, if we're just telling over the story, it has to come specifically in Q&A format. It does. So why is that so critical? Why is that so integral? So it is, but in terms of the why, you know, those are just the harder questions to answer. But anyway, so you have the chacham where so he'll ask, and if you don't have a chacham at the table, so then yeah, get your wife to ask, and if not, you'll ask yourself. Again, just showing how critical it is. You're literally posing questions to yourself. And Tamid HaChacham, who know everything, meaning they know the Chumash and they know the Midrashim. But still, Sho'olam Zelazeh, they ask one another. Okay, they may know the answers, but again, question-answer format is the method in which we are going to be disseminating this information on this particular evening. It says over here that the wife is going to be asking the husband, a woman have an obligation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? So, right, it's a wonderful question. Matzah, we've already established she has an obligation for matzah. But Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, does she have an obligation for that? I'll leave the question open-ended. It is a mitzvah seseh shazman grama. It's a time-bound mitzvah. I'll just say it succinctly. A woman does have an obligation. Really, the discussion really exists more in why. How do we know that she has an obligation? What is that going to be predicated on? It is a time-bound mitzvah. And the only reason why she's obligated over matzah is because we have a drasha. In other words, the Torah makes a hekesh between matzah and chametz. Whoever is bound by the issur of chametz is obligated in the mitzvah of matzah. We don't have such a drasha regarding magid. So in terms of why women are obligated in magid, so good, that's a discussion. Presumably, I'll just give you the simplest approach, even though the Gemara does not make this point, but the Rishonim already start along this discussion. Presumably, it's the fact that they're obligated over matzah, and we just learned together at the beginning of today's daf of the relationship between matzah and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And so presumably then, once they're obligated in matzah, and the lechem oni is lechem sha'unim alav dvarim, so then presumably that would also include her in magid as well. That could be one approach, but again, it's a longer discussion. The Gemara now is going to go over the question of dipping. And the way the Mishnah presents it to us, it's a little bit strange. Right? The nusach of the Mishnah that we are currently working with right now is that on all of the nights we dip once, tonight we dip twice. So the Gemara says, on all of the nights we dip once, what? So maskif la, Rava to call Yomlo Sagilo Dolo Mitvala Khadazimna. So what does that mean? We every other night we have to be dipping, right? Tonight's a Wednesday night. So what does that mean? We're gonna be dipping tonight? So Allah Rava Achikitan Shabakolo say Anu Chayavam Latabala Filapamachas Alaila Zeshte Pamim. So okay, so the Gemara now does just a small editing job of our Mishnah. On all of the nights we're not obligated to dip, not even once. Tonight we're obligated to dip twice. The Gemara doesn't even like that redaction. Maskavla Rav Safra Chiyuva L'Dardike. Tonight we're obligated to dip twice. The word obligation is a really strong word, meaning obligation would seem like it's a mitzvah. Okay, so the Maror maybe can make an argument that's an obligation, and even that, right? Why are we dipping? So either to mitigate, but in other words, the word obligation is really strong. And certainly, and this is the Gemara's really main point over here. The first dipping that we do, right? What we call karpus. So that's not an obligation. Look, we're doing it to get the kids to ask questions. But to call that a chiyuv, it's not a chov, it's not an obligation. So Allah Amar Rav Safra, hachi ketani, inanu madbila afilu b'machas, alay lazeh shtei pamim. So good, so Rav Safra now gives us the final redaction of the Mishnah, and that is, just take out the word chiyuv. On all of the nights we don't dip at all, and tonight we dip twice. Okay, and leave it at that. And of course, by the way, you open up our Haggadah, and we're now working with the redacted form of our Mishnah. Good. Continuing in the Gemara, Maschal Beganusa Messiah B'Shevach. Okay, now there has to be an arc in the story. We got to talk about, we got to start from where, from our low point, and we got to get to the high point. That's the framework of the section of Magid. So my beginner, so what exactly does that mean, the low point? What exactly is our low point? So Rav Amar, Mitchas Ovdei, Avodas Galilim, Hayu Avosenu. So Rav takes us from a very interesting point historically, and that is, we were idolaters. So, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu then, took us from idolatry to becoming Oved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ushmuel Amar Avadim Hayinu. And Shmuel's of the position that no, the low point that we need to start with is Avadim Hayinu, that we were slaves. Obviously, if I had a guess, I obviously would have gone with Shmuel's position. Meaning that we're talking about Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, how we exited Egypt. So presumably, we're talking about the Shibud. So the more intuitive starting point in terms of where the Gnus would have began with. So Shmuel's really giving us something that I would say is more intuitive. But Rav over here takes us to a really interesting place that really Yitzias Mitzrayim is obviously it's physical, but what we have to focus is on our spiritual journey. How we started spiritually at a really low point, being of Oved Avodah Zarah. Now, who was Oved Avodah Zarah? So we have the Haggadah. So we all know the answer. The Gemara over here is making reference to Terach, which takes us all the way back. But anyway, but Rav says that we're talking about how we were Oved Avodah Zarah going to being Ovdei Hashem. So Amalei Rav Nachman L'dor Rav Dei. Oh, before we get to the Rav Nachman, so just a simple observation. I didn't see anyone say this, but I'm sure it's been said before. It's a really simple observation, and that is, how do we cap off Magid? So we cap off Magid with two paragraphs of Hallel. In fact, we're going to see a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel whether we should be saying one paragraph of Hallel or two. And then what we do after we say two paragraphs of Hallel is then we break for the meal, we have a meal, we bench, and then we go back to Hallel, and we just pick it up right where we left off in the third paragraph, right? Tomorrow's daf, we're going to be focusing on Hallel. Tomorrow is the Hallel daf. So anyway, if you just take a simple look at the two parakim of Hallel that we say. So the first parak of Hallel that we say at the end of Magid is Hallel Avdei Hashem, and the second paragraph of Hallel that we say is B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim. So presumably those two paragraphs are really the conclusion of Magid, both for the opinion of Rav and for the opinion of Shmuel. So Rav says that our starting point should be Mitchilas Ovdei Avodas Galilim. So the first paragraph of Hallel is Hallel Avdei Hashem, or now Oved Hashem. So that's the Siyum of Hallel for the Sheet of Rav. Whereas according to the Sheet of Shmuel, the second paragraph of Hallel, B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim, so that's the Siyum of Hallel according to Shmuel. So basically what happens is that the Baal Haggadah, really, it goes well before that. The Tanaim already, right? This is a whole thing like Sheetah's Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel now says that we say the first two paragraphs. So why do we stop after the first two paragraphs? So I just gave a suggestion. So we stop after the first two paragraphs because that really is a conclusion of Magid for the positions, respective positions of Rav and Shmuel. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman Daru Rav Day. Rav Nachman turns to his slave Daru, and he says to him, Avda demafik le mar lecheres v'yav le kasba v'dava mai baila memerle. So just for a moment, right? Imagine that your slave, that your master frees you, and on top of that gives you silver and gold. So what do you think? What should be the correct response? So Amalei bala leuduya leshabuche. So you gotta thank him. You gotta praise him. So Amalei. So now we have the next line of the Gemara, right? A curious line and questionable whether it belongs or does not belong in the Nusach Gemara. I'll read it. So you exempted us from saying manishtana. Now the truth of the matter is we had a line like that yesterday, but you remember in yesterday's Gemara. This was with Abaye and Rabba, where Rabba asks Abaye. Abaye asks Rabba some question at this point in time. And Rabbi said, good, we don't have to say Manishana. Right, go back to yesterday's daf. So, Abai was in front of Rava, and the Kamad Le Taka Mikame, they removed the Seder plate, right? Literally, removing the table. And Abai says, what are you doing? And Rabbi says, perfect. Now we don't even have to do the Manishana. But over here, it doesn't seem like the Manishana is relevant to this particular point. Because the only thing that Rav Nachman wanted Dara to emphasize was, look, we're experiencing freedom, right? For a moment, if you can imagine what freedom is gonna, if you were emancipated, what would you do? This doesn't seem to have any relevancy for Manashana. Anyway, so Pasach ve'amar avadim hayinu. And then Rav Nachman opened up with avadim hayinu. I understand it is a little bit strange, by the way, that the question that Rav Nachman posed to Daru seems to be a little bit off-putting. Meaning, he says to Daru, imagine your master would have freed you. All right? Was Rav Nachman ready to free him at that point in time? Presumably not. Okay. Anyway. Let's continue now with the Mishnah. Kuta Zainam and Aleph. The Mishnah begins with Gamla Hayomer Koshlo Omar. Shoshad Zar Mela Bepesach Lo Yasi De Chavaso. Somebody who does not mention these three things has not fulfilled his obligation. We all know this. This is incorporated into the Nusach of the Haggadah. Now two really important points over here. Neither with clear-cut answers, but two really important points. So if you don't say these three things, you're not going to fulfill your obligation. What obligation? So the simplest way to say it is that your obligation of Magid. Meaning that for Magid, look, there's a lot of room for freestyle in Magid, especially if all you have are just the Mishnayos. Meaning, again, we have the Haggadah. So for us, for both good and bad, so we have a framework of what to say. Right? Mostly good. Right? In other words, we are not at a loss in terms of how to tell over a story because it's fed to us through the Magid. But in the time of the Mishnah, so certainly there was room for exposition, right? There's obviously some basic things you got to cover. Maschol Maguno Sain Meshavach goes to the Psukim and Parshas Kisavo Arami Ovidavi. Okay, so there's some of the basic things that you need to do, but after that though, there's a lot of room for negotiation in terms of what you're going to be covering. Meanwhile, the Mishnah here is telling us that if you don't mention these three things, and we all know, by the way, but I'll say it right now, Pesach Matzah Maror, if you don't mention these three things, so then you're not fulfilling your obligation. Your obligation of what? So the simplest way to say the Mishnah is that your obligation of Magid. Okay? But then, of course, it really begs the question, why do I have to mention Pesach Matzah Maror in order to fulfill the obligation of Magid? Magid is telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You can tell the story without Maror, right? You don't have to say the word maror. You don't have to reference maror. So obviously, Rabbi Gamliel is of the position that the mitzvahs that are given to us that night become integral, not just in terms of eating them, but it become integral in terms of telling the story. So the simplest way to say over the Mishnah is that we're talking about the chova of Haggadah and the foods of that evening become essential, not just to eat them, but to talk about them and incorporate them in the Magid. That's the easiest way to say it. Although, quite frankly, you could make an argument, and again, now is not a good time to go through this with any kind of depth, but you could make an argument that lo yatzei yedei chavasi, you haven't fulfilled your obligation of Pesach Matzah Maror, meaning that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, you have to say why we're eating the Karban Pesach. And same thing with Matzah, and same thing with Maror. Meaning it's a chovas achila, not the chovah of Magid. You could say that. A little bit more difficult. And then number two, the Mishnah says that if you don't say Pesach Matzah Maror lo yatzei yedei chavasi, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. Like, really? Like, in other words, I understand it's important, but to say that now that you told over the entire story, you just failed to mention Maror and what Maror symbolizes, and now you haven't fulfilled your obligation, that's a really strong statement. So this also is much more of a discussion. There's a Ran in the Gemara and Sukkah. And the Ran, the Gemara and Sukkot says, don't take the Mishnah literally. The Mishnah doesn't mean that you have not fulfilled your obligation. It means that you're missing a piece of the story, but to say lo yatzei yedei chavasi. But again, the simple reading of the Mishnah is that you haven't fulfilled your obligation. Okay, so that becomes also another really big discussion. Continuing in the Mishnah, ve'eloi in Pesach Matzah Maror. So Pesach Hashomash, Pesach Hamakom, Abatei Avosin, Mim Mitzrayim, Shenemer, Varmartem, Zevech Pesach, Ula Hashem, Asher Pesach. Okay, so the Pesach reminds us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed us over. Matzah Shum, Shenigalu Avosin, Mim Mitzrayim. Matzah, because we were redeemed. Shenemer, V'yafuos Abatzeik, Asher Otzi, Mim Mitzrayim. And Maror Hashom, Shemaru, Amitzrayim, Eschayi Avosin, Mim Mitzrayim. Shenemer, V'yamaru Eschayim. Okay, good. This part we all know. The various psukim that are associated with Pesach Matzah Maror, that helps us remind us exactly how these foods symbolize which part of the Shibud. Every generation, we have to look at ourselves as if we left Mitzrayim. It is, let's just say it out loud, it's a really difficult mitzvah. Meaning to really get that feeling, that sense that we left Mitzrayim, right? They say it's now just a short 3,300 years ago that we left Mitzrayim. And, we have to be historically aware, but to really feel that we left Mitzrayim, okay, it's a very difficult mitzvah, but that's the goal. That's the goal for the evening. Okay, the pasuk is that it was done for me, meaning not just for the generation that left, but for every subsequent generation as well. So without going through a word by word translation, this is the kind of acknowledgement and appreciation that we have to have for Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it forces us to say hallel. So ad heichanol huomer. So we're starting hallel now. So now we have entered the section of Magen, and we're going to start hallel. So now that we're starting hallel, the Mishnah assumes that we're not going to be finishing hallel. Okay, so, and again, basic questions to ask and answers abound. But why don't we finish hallel? Meaning, why do we start hallel? Why do we stop in the middle of hallel? Why do we have the meal in the middle, right in the middle of hallel? And then we go back and we resume hallel. On top of that, there's no bracha that we say over hallel. Okay, so lots of basic questions to ask over here. But again, just going through the Mishnah, and I'm also looking at the clock. So Beit Shammai Omrim Ad Ema Banim Smecha. So according to Beit Shammai, so you just say the first paragraph of Hallel. Beis Hillel Omrim Ad Chalamish Lamayin Amayim. And according to Beis Hillel, you say the second paragraph of Hallel as well. Okay, and I gave a suggestion earlier this morning of why two for Beis Hillel. V'chosim B'geula. And now, a chasima, meaning we're going to make a bracha. At this point in time, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Asher Galana V'galas of Asinim Mimsayim, V'lo Haya Chosim. So, according to Rabbi Tarfon, the bracha would just conclude with Asher Galana V'galas of Asinim Mimsayim, but the bracha would not have a chasima. Now, earlier we learned that every bracha needs to be Posech Be'baruch and V'chosim Be'baruch, and Rabbi Tarfon feels that this bracha does not have a chasima. The Mishnah does not explain why. And quite frankly, neither does the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ken Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokeiv, Aseinu Gein LeMoadim, V'Lir Galim Acherim, Abayim L'Kraseinu Shalom, Smechim B'Vinyan, Irecha V'Sasim B'Avarosecha, V'Nochel Sham, Min HaPsachim, Min HaZvachim. Okay, question of what the order is and why that's significant, but not for now. Ad Berachat Hashem Gal Yisrael. So Rabbi Kiva is going to treat this night now like a standard bracha, where Rabbi Kiva is going to open up with Baruch Atah Hashem and have a nusach, and then have a chasima, have a signature conclusion to the bracha Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael. Okay, let's start with the Gemara. Amar Rava Sarach Shi Amar Ve'otanu Simisham. So Rava says that what you have to add, what you have to incorporate, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out from there. That becomes essential for the nusach. Amar Rava Matzah Sarach Lahagbiyah. When mentioning the matzah, you have to lift it. Marat sarach lahagbiyah. When mentioning the mar, you have to lift it. Basar ain't sarach lahagbiyah, but not the meat. V'lo odal shenir kochel kashim mechutz. In fact, not only do you not have to lift it, you shouldn't lift it, because if you do so, you're going to give the false impression that this is the Karban Pesach. Now, it's not the Karban Pesach, but if you lift it, you give us the impression, and you don't want to do that. So Amar Rav Acher Bar Yaakov Suma Patim Alomar Hagada. So the Gemara quotes a halacha in the name of Rav Acher bar Yaakov, and that is the person who is blind is exempt from saying the Haggadah. Ksiv hacha bavur zeh, ksiv hasa meninu zeh, mal ahalam pra'la suma afkanan, pra'la suma. And he makes a really unusual gzeir shava, where he's connecting the mitzvah of Haggadah to the mitzvah, or let's call it a mitzvah, but to the parsha of Ben Sora Mora. And by Ben Sora Mora, the pasuk says, beninu zeh, And the halacha is that back in the eighth parak of Sanhedrin, the halacha is that the parents have to have the ability to point to their son and say this son, which means that the parents have to have sight, and if the parents are blind, so on a technicality, so the son is not going to be tried for being a Ben Sora Mora. So just like there's a patur of blindness by Ben Sora Mora, same thing over here. Inu, the Gemara says, now wait a second. So you're telling me that a blind person is exempt from Magid? I don't think that's true. You know, we went to the rabbis who were learning by Rav Yosef, And we ask them a simple question. Manda Amar Agada Tabe Rav Yosef. Who said Magid in Rav Yosef's house on the Seder night? Amar Rav Yosef. So they said, as you would expect, Rav Yosef. He was the Rosh Yeshiva and at the Seder. So he said over the Magid. So Manda Amar Agada Tabe Rav Sheshes. Okay, good. Who said over the Magid by Rav Sheshes's house? So Amar Rav Sheshes. So they said, okay, it was Rav Sheshes. Now, I'm sure you figured it out already, but let's say it out loud. And that is both Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes were both blind. And meanwhile, they both said the Magid. And not only did they say it, that means that they said it to not only fulfill their own obligation, but everyone else there at the table as well. And so you tell me that a blind person's potter, it can't be. I have both Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes being the Ba Magid at their Seder. So, Kasavir Rabbanan, Matzib Ezman Zed Rabbanan. So the Gemara suggests, well, maybe these Amoraim are of the opinion that matzah nowadays is the mitzvah derabbanan. As we already pointed out, without the base of Mikdash Mara, for sure is derabbanan. What about matzah? So I mentioned already, and it's clear right here in our Gemara, it's a machlokas tanai, machlokas Amoraim, whether matzah bezman hazeh is a din derabbanan. So what the Gemara would like to propose right now is that matzah nowadays is a din derabbanan, and therefore the Magid section also is going to also be downgraded to a din derabbanan. So the Gemara says, "Mechlal de Rav Acher bar Yaakov sever matzah bezman hazeh daraisa." Now you're telling me then that Rav Acher bar Yaakov, who does exempt a blind person from saying magid, so he holds that matzah nowadays is daraisa, which means that magid is daraisa. V'ha Rav Acher bar Yaakov who da'amar matzah bezman hazeh derabanan. So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but Rav Acher bar Yaakov is of the opinion that matzah nowadays is a din derabanan. He said it." So the Gemara says, "Kasever called the takon rabanan kein daraisa takon." So but he's of the position that the Chachamim institute us to eat matzah, and the Chachamim institute us to say magid, and they pair themselves after the din daraisa. The din daraisa is that a blind person is exempt because of the gzera shava. So even on the rabbinic level, they're going to be exempt because the din darabanan is patterned after the din daraisa. L'Rav Sheshes. Ula Rav Yosef Nami Havadik called the Takun Rabbanan Kein Daraisa Takun. Now, you have to imagine that Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef agreed with this basic principle, and therefore it begs the question. Rav Acher bar Yaakov's conclusion is that a blind person is exempt from matzah and maror, and so therefore, well, let's just leave it at. Let me be more precise. The blind person is going to be exempt from magid, and that's on a din daraisa based on the gzera shava. And Rav Acher bar Yaakov says, and we're going to assume that even though nowadays matzah is derabbanan, again, just a parenthetical note, we're of the position that matzah is daraisa, but there are Amoraim who are of the opinion that matzah is derabbanan. Rav Acher bar Yaakov being one of them. So Rav Acher bar Yaakov says that matzah is derabbanan, which means that magid is derabbanan. But nevertheless, called the takun rabbanan kein daraisa takun, which means that the blind person is still going to be exempt from magid. So the Gemara says, good. Rav Sheshes, Rav Yosef, they obviously disagree. On what point do they disagree? So the Gemara says like this: Hachi hashta bishlam asa medahav alele mechta benenu hu uksiv benenu zesh mamina prat lesumin. So the Gemara says, by the parsha in Ben Sora Mor and the psukim over there, I totally get it. The Torah could have said benenu hu, right? This son. And it rather says benenu zeh. The word zeh means that you're able to point and identify, and therefore you have to have sight. So the Gemara says that's fine. So I understand the halacha of prat l'suma as it relates to ben sora mora. Avahacha, but over here ilah bavur zeh my lichta. But the pasuk over here says bavur zeh. What else should I have written? Ela bavur matzah mara hudasa. In other words, it clearly is there to teach us that because of matzah mara. So we were freed as a result of matzah mara. Which, by the way, in of itself, if we could just focus for a moment, because of matzah mara we were freed. What does that mean? Okay, there's a really, really interesting Beis Halevi on that point over here, but just not for now. But anyway, but the idea is that the Torah didn't have another option of what it was going to write. It has to write Bavur Zeh. So basically what the Gemara argues is that according to Rav Sheshes, according to Rav Yosef, there is no Gzera Shava. Gzera Shava is only when the words are extraneous, when it's Mufna. But over here, it's not extraneous. So these words by Matzah Marur are necessary components, are necessary words, and therefore they just simply say, we don't have a Gzera Shava over here. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the daf. Let's quickly recap. Let's review. Number one, Lechem Oni. Three drushes that we started off this morning. What do we darshan from Lechem Oni? Number one, we have to speak over the matzah, meaning Magid is said while matzah serves as a prop for the section of Magid. That's one. Two is that the matzah's got to be broken, just like an ani is broken bread. So too, our matzah's got to be broken. We got to break the matzah. And an important and subsequent discussion amongst the Rishonim. So the bircha of achilas matzah is going certainly on the broken piece. What about hamotzi? Is the motzi going on the shlemer, going on the prusa? Machlokus in the first tosfos over here amongst the balei tosfos. And then the third drasha is that an ani, husband's going to heat up the oven, wife is going to bake immediately afterwards. We got to do the same thing. And what does that do? It minimizes the risk of chimutz. That's the Rashbam's explanation. Then the Gemara went through the machlokus of charosis. Is it a mitzvah or is it not a mitzvah? Machlokus tanaim in our Mishnah. And the Gemara explains, if it's not a mitzvah, it's there to take care of the heiress. If it is a mitzvah, so it's either there to remind us of the heroism of the Jewish women and the orchards in which they gave birth in, or to remind us of the straw that we had to collect as part of Shibud Mitzrayim. Then we moved on to the Mishnah, Kosheni. We're pouring the second couple because we're about to say Magid. So now the Chacham's son, not to be confused with the Dal Banim, the Chacham's son now is going to be asking, what is he going to be asking? According to the Rashbam, why are you pouring the second cup of wine? That's not normally what happens over here. And if the son does not have the ability to ask, so then four questions are going to be asked, what we call the Manishtana. Good, and again, subtle differences between the Mishnah's rendition of the Manishtana and our rendition, obviously because in the absence of the Karm Pesach, so we took out one of the four questions, we replaced it with a Seba. The Mishnah concluded that there has to be some basic structure for the Haggadah, starting off at the low point, ending off at the high point, and darshaning the Psukim in Parshas Kisava Rami Ovid Avi, which is a synopsis of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We read the Psukim and we read the Sifrei on those Psukim. The Gemara's discussion is number one. The format of the evening has to be Q&A. Even if you're by yourself, you're asking yourself questions. Number two, just a quick redaction of the Mishnah in terms of the dipping. Good. The Mishnah needed a little bit of editing and the Gemara edited the Mishnah. And then finally, Maschal Begnusim Messiah B'Shevach. So we have to start the Seder at the low point. What's the low point? Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that we were Ovdei Avodas Gilil, and we were idolaters. And Shmuel says that we were Avadim. On the Amud Aleph, we ended with the story of Rav Nachman and his servant in terms of the kind of appreciation that we need to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having released us from slavery. Rav Gamliel says that if you don't say three things, you're not Yotzei the mitzvah. And I'll say it simply, even though the Mishnah doesn't say it this way. You haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Magid, and that is you have to say Pesach Matzah Maror, the language of Lo Yatzah Yidei Chovasa. That's strong language. And I quoted the Ran in terms of whether or not to take the Mishnah super literally. And what exactly do you say regarding Pesach Matzah Maror? The Mishnah fills in the blanks of what we're supposed to say. Obviously, that's incorporated into the Haggadah, into Magid. And then a bracha to conclude the section of Magid. And Halal also at the end as well. How much of Halal do we say at this point in time? Achlokas, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai says one paragraph, Beit Hillel says two paragraphs. Okay, Rava's insertion, that you have to say, Osanu Otsi Misham, they took us from there. Again, as part of the idea of Chayv Adam Lirsas Atzmo. When you mention Pesach Matzah, when you mention matzah mar, you have to lift the matzah, you have to lift the mar. However, when you mention Pesach, don't lift it, right? Don't lift it, presumably don't point to it. Like, in other words, because you don't want to give the impression that that's the Karm Pesach, it's not the Karm Pesach. And the last discussion that we had this morning is whether or not a blind person is obligated in saying over Magid. Does he have a mitzvah of Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim? So some Amoraim are of the position, or right, more accurately, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is of the position that they're exempt from saying Magid based on Gzeirah Shavah, but obviously there are blind Amoraim of Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes. They disagree. In fact, they led the Seder and they led the Magid, so they felt that they were obligated. And the Gemara's conclusion is that they just simply do not subscribe to the Gzeirah Shavah. Adkan.